If you don't know Jesus, today's the day.
Amen.
The song I want to sing is Come to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. It's so good to be with you in church this morning. We've been trying to emphasize young people this month and try to challenge you as well as far as your role in their life. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 22. This is a very familiar verse. You've heard it if you've been in church any length of time. But I hope maybe that the Lord will draw something fresh out of it for you this morning, that it might help you in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. I'm aware that some of you may not have children. Well, mark this verse in your Bible when the Lord gives you children. Some of you say, well, I've already raised mine. Well, God may put another child in your life. It's not your child, but he may put a child in your life that you have an opportunity to train up, to be a follower of Christ. And I'm hoping maybe you can use some of these principles as well. Proverbs 22, verse 6, one verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your promises and principles that we find recorded in the Word of God. We thank you, Father, that you are always true and faithful. You always keep your word. Lord, that's one of the things that we love about you so much. Lord, it's sooner or later, whatever you promised will come to pass. Lord, even if it takes 4,000 years, Lord, you will bring your word to pass. And God, we thank you for the promise and principle that we find in this verse this morning. Lord, as we try to bring up children and influence grandchildren, we pray, God, that you'd help us to do our part. Would help us to be the ones that would train them to walk in your ways. Give us wisdom, Father, in that training. Lord, show us exactly how that we would be able to influence their life so they would come to know Christ and that they would live, Lord, according to the truth of your word. We ask you, Father, if there's any here this morning that are lost without Christ, that you would remind them that you created them, that they're in your world, not by accident or mistake, but God, because you sovereignly chose them, you made them, you created their very being, and God, everything belongs to you, and they owe you everything. And I pray, God, that you would somehow speak to their heart about coming to Jesus and being saved today. Thank you for that good song. And Lord, may they respond to that song and come to Jesus and find eternal life, everlasting life. And Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to say what I need to say, what ought to be said. And Lord, keep me from saying things that will not get your message across or benefit your people. I pray, God, in every way that you'd be glorified this morning. Accomplish your will. Help us to lift up the name of Jesus, for it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
So as we've been attempting to try to encourage the church concerning reaching young people and juniors, I know most of us have an opportunity to influence children. And I want to remind you some of these promises that we find in the Word of God. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the book of Malachi, chapter number 2. And one of the things that we learned there is that in order for children to grow up into a stable, grow up and learn the ways of God, they need a stable home, stable godly home. They need mom and dad involved in their training so that God would have a godly seed. Well, this morning we're going to take a little closer look at our responsibility in God's gift to us to raise children. and to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. John Phillips, in his commentaries, gave two other proverbs, a Danish proverb that says, while youth learns, age doesn't forget. What youth learns, age doesn't forget. And then an English proverb that says, as the twig is bent, so groweth the tree. Most of you realize that. You've seen trees probably grow long enough. You know, if it's bent in a certain direction, it'll just keep growing in that direction, right? Well, we have the responsibility of bending the twig. We have the responsibility of inputting into the life of our children, grandchildren, and even children in the church that God gives us an opportunity to influence the things that would help them to learn how to live for Christ in this ungodly world. It's amazing to me how much the world and Satan realizes how vital this is. That is the training and teaching of children. The world realizes how important it is. They spend a lot of time and money trying to teach our children things that are contrary to the scriptures. In fact, if you were to look at our schools, our current educational system, it seems like from pre-K all the way through college, they're bent on trying to make American citizens atheists. They do everything they can to promote an anti-God mentality. I'm not just being harsh. I think if we were to be honest, that we'd find that that is certainly the reality. While Christians, on the other hand, seem to be look at children like we ought not to look at children. Christians, even in church, when you get a bunch of kids coming from the bus, people kind of shy away from them. They don't engage them. They don't love on them. They don't learn their names. It's almost like they're kind of a bother. And one of the things that we seem to forget about children, that it don't take long until a child is an adult. Think about a 10-year-old. In 10 years, he'll be how old? No, a 10-year-old in 10 years, he'll be 20.
I'm thinking 16.
Oh, yeah. If he's six in 10 years, he'll be 16. That age is the most influential age. I mean, it's critical because you're taking a child and then they're going to be an adult, and usually the rest of their life has already been established by the time they get age 7. If you're a young person here this morning and you're not a Christian, this is what stats say. Majority of people who are saved before the age of 15. Majority of people are saved before the age of 15. And then after that, it gets harder and harder, and the percentages go down and down and down. And it's hardly ever that you hear people get saved in their 60s or 70s. Some do, praise God. Amen? I thank God he never gives up on anybody. But if you're a young person thinking, I'm going to wait to get saved, let me tell you what you're doing. You're just going to make it harder. It's not going to get easier. And the one telling you to put it off is the devil. Why? Because he would love to see you in hell. I hate about the tragedies that happened in Texas, but I've been witnessing to folks recently, and I bring that up. Me and Brother Lewis yesterday talked to a young man named Stephen. And I said, Stephen, look, you don't know when you're going to leave this world. You may leave it before the sun sets this evening. And Brother Lewis stressed on him how important it was that he become a Christian and he gets saved. I said, think about the kids and the people in Texas. I mean, they go to bed at night, and next thing you know, they're in eternity. And that certainly could happen to any single one of us. Amanda's telling us about her friend. Her daughter was the age of 15 years old. Kidney shut down, liver shut down, and she went from being a healthy person till just hours, within a day, leaving this world and going into eternity. You say, preacher, I'm healthy, I'm strong, everything's fine. You don't know exactly what God's plan is, do you? And so I urge upon you, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, receive Him today, this very day. Let's get back to our text. First of all, I want you to notice the training. The Bible says we're to train up a child in the way he should go. You know, children don't come self-trained. Have anybody ever? I mean, they don't know how to do anything, right? They don't know how to eat. They don't know how to go to the bathroom. I mean, you got to teach them everything. They don't come self-trained. And if you got to teach them the basic things, how to hold a fork or a spoon, how to dress themselves, then we all should stop and realize we got to teach them some greater things as well. Amen? Not just those simple things, those basic things, but we need to teach them Bible truths, eternal truths. We need to teach them about the way that God mentions in this passage. It's the parents' responsibility to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, people spend a lot of time trying to teach people to do certain things, and they think because I told them what to do, they know it. As if telling them something means they're trained. How many of y'all know that's not the case? Have you ever told someone and that's your responsibility to tell them how to do this, and you told them as clear and plain as you could imagine, even with further details than what you thought you might need to go into, only to find out after you explained it to them, they said, and you said, now you got that? And they said, I didn't understand a word you said. Right? Just telling them doesn't mean they're trained. And I think sometimes as parents we make that mistake. Well, I told them you should go to church. I told them you should read the Bible. I told them you should love Jesus. I told them that God's the most important being in their life. I told them all that. Just because you tell them don't mean they're trained. Training is far more than just telling. Amen? It's far more than even just teaching. Amen. Remember when you were in school, teacher got up, she taught you something that's important, valuable, could benefit you to this very day. And just because it was taught to you doesn't mean it was caught. Amen. Just because somebody went over it and taught it and detailed it don't mean that you got a hold of it. Even if you command or demand them to do something, it doesn't mean they're trained. Right? I hate to compare children to dogs. There's no comparison. Children are far greater than dogs. By the way, if you have a dog and you call that your child, you got a problem. You should never refer to a dog as your child. Amen? But for example, if you could tell the dog to go fetch and he just sits there and wags his tail looking up at you, have you trained him how to fetch? Go fetch! And he just sits there, wags his tail, and looks at you. Would you go and tell anybody? Well, I got him well trained. I mean, every time I say fetch, he does exactly what I tell him to do. I had a brother-in-law and he had a dog, a retriever that was addicted to retrieving balls. He would retrieve them as long as you threw it. He was well trained. And he loved doing it. Amen? More than just telling them, even teaching. You can explain it to a dog and take the ball out there, put his nose on it, bring it back. Does all that mean that he's trained? You can say to the loudest of your ability, fetch, retrieve. Or if you want to use some German word, I don't know what that would be. And he still sits there. He's not trained until he goes, gets the ball, and he brings it back. Parents, just because we tell our children and we say these things and we even show them in the scriptures and we even command them to do certain things, it doesn't mean that we have met God's standard here. Somehow we've got to get it out of the book and out of our heads and into their heart, where they too begin to love to do what God wants them to do. That they desire of their own will to do what they know God wants for their life. I remember my mother-in-law sharing this about one of her, my brother-in-law. She said, he's lived off of our faith his entire life. Now it's time that he lives on his own faith. You know what she meant by that? I mean, he loved the fact they could trust in God. They could get answers and prayer from God. That they could walk with God. But when he got out in life, he needed that same faith to live out, not just look back on mom and dad's faith. Amen? And so we need to train them so that they will do those things that Christ would have them to do. I'll tell you about a prayer that me and my wife prayed earnestly for our children. I prayed constantly, Lord, save them as soon as possible. As soon as they can understand the gospel. Lord, I don't want them to have to say, I lived 10 years in sin. I did all this kind of terrible stuff. And then I came to Jesus. My prayer, constant prayer was, Lord, save them as soon as they can understand what salvation is. Most of my children were saved around the age of 5. You said, preacher, that's hard to believe. Well, if you take them to church their entire life, they sit in preaching and teaching, and they have the Bible at home. They know much about Christ at the age of 5. Our oldest daughter, Vicky, other kids don't like me telling this, but oldest daughter, Vicky, when she was 2 years old, she could go through all the books of the Bible, starting at Genesis, and go all the way through to Revelation and not miss a single book. And me and Brenda were so thrilled about that, we'd say, Vicky, tell them the books of the Bible. And then we'd get around some, Vicky, tell them the books of the Bible. Till we got to the point we said, Vicky, tell them the books of the Bible. She'd say, I think we might have ruined that for her. Train them up. Somehow we've got to get them to love Jesus like we love Jesus. We've got them, I thought about that same thing, Sister Wilhelmina. If we ever needed great men and women of God, we need them in this generation. And it may be that God wants to make your children great men and women of God, or your grandchildren great men and women of God. Sometimes I think of Levi and Josiah, some of these other ones, and I think what great things God could do with those men. Amen?
Amen?
If we would bring them up and train them how to walk with God, to love God as we love God, to talk to God as we talk to God. To share the gospel as we share the gospel. Yeah. What's going to happen to you when you stop breathing? Does that mean the gospel stops being spread when you stop breathing? God forbid. Amen?
Yeah.
Teach your children how to tell others how to be saved. That they may tell their children to tell others how to be saved. So that the gospel is continuously preached until the return of Jesus Christ. And then I want you to notice something else about this text, the time. Notice what it says, train up a child. It didn't say train up an adult. It didn't say train up a teenager. The Bible always insists that you start now and that you start early.
Amen.
My father-in-law went to the hospital when his child was born. And so he went down to the nursery to see the baby, and he noticed a nurse in there. And she was trying to comfort this baby, and the baby was upset and screaming, and no matter what the nurse did, the baby was upset. And finally the nurse turned the baby's foot over, thumped it 3 hard times, and the baby said, and she quit her crying. My father-in-law said, on the glass. And she's coming over there like, I mean, Zeps, hey, I'm not mad. I just want to know what you did. If that works for you, I think it might work for me. A lot of times we keep waiting to discipline our children until the point where it's too late to discipline them. And by the way, even children that are not walking understand. They know if they're mad. And if you're a parent, you can figure out that pretty soon, right? You can say, okay, there's no dirty diaper. I know I fed them. They're not hungry. Nothing's poking them. They don't have a fever. They just want to be held.
Amen.
Is Corey here today? Oh, good. We have five kids. Corey was our last. I said that wrong. I'm not glad he's not in church. But I want to tell this story, and I don't know if he'd like me telling this story. We have five kids. And Corey was the last one. And he would stay up all night long. And as soon as you laid him down, rah, 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 you picked him up, he was fine. He kept his mama up. One night I said, I'll watch him for you. I'll take this shift. And I went in there and he fell asleep. I went to lay him down. He said, rah, rah. I turned that little thigh over and I wore it out. That was the last night he cried. He went to bed the rest of his time. He never stayed up again, never cried to be held again. He said, wait a minute, I don't want no more. Whatever that was, I asked for something I don't want. Y'all may not believe that, but that's, you can ask Miss Brenda about that. Ask my kids about that. That's exactly what happened. Wasn't walking, but what? He knew. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he wanted. He knew how we were responding. And then he realized, and I don't want that. By the way, he was such a good child. I don't think we had to spank him, but maybe four or five times his entire life. But maybe it was that one time he said, I don't want no more of that. And by the way, if your kids are grown, they're not saved, they're not serving God, can I just say this to you? God is a God of second chances.
Amen.
And third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. God's a miracle working God. God can come and visit your children right now, so radically change their heart. Amen. And they get on fire for God and live for Jesus Christ. And then bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you can be a part of that. Don't give up just because they're grown now. Keep calling on God that God would do something in their life. Amen?
Amen?
We learned that in Jonah, didn't we? Our study on Wednesday night. Jonah ran from God, but God sent him back to Nineveh. And what a great revival come because he went and preached the word of God. The time is now. It's when they're small.
Yes, it is.
It's when they're young. When they reach for something and you say, hey, don't touch that, and they look at you. You know what all that tells you, that should say to you? Now, I can start swatting that hand and they're going to learn yes and no. And by the way, let me say this to you. It is so much easier in life to swat a little child's hand and teach that child to not touch something that you said no about than it is to go downtown and sit in the jail and see them behind bars and weep because they're now got their life in a mess. If you don't think that could happen, it certainly could happen. Amen? The Bible says that we're to chasten them betimes. That means early. When they're young. We're to train children when they're young. By the way, that's why the government wants your child so much. Because they know that that's the impressionable years. It used to be mom and dads that would educate their children. You know, when they didn't have a school system. They would educate the children, teach them principles, right and wrong. And they would teach them the things of God. Our school system used to teach them, when we first started it, it used to teach them the things of God. That's no longer the case. Amen? We need to teach them when they're young. Notice something else about this text. Train up a child in the way. What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? I'm to teach him the track to take, the course in life. The Bible says this in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray and everyone has turned to his own way. You know, when a child is born, he's born, turned to his own way. What does that mean, Brother Tom? That means that he is living for himself, doing what he wants, wandering wherever he wants to go. It's a sheep that is basically wandering in any direction that he feels like he wants to wander in. And all of us have faced that before. When I was lost, guess what? I was a lost, wandering sheep. I did what Tommy wanted to do. I satisfied Tommy's desires. I lived for Tommy. The things that I wanted, that's what I went after. But after I met the Lord Jesus Christ, I turned from my way to His way. When I'm trying to explain to people repentance, repentance is this, that you no longer live for yourself, but you start living for the Savior. And can I say something to you? Without repentance, there is no salvation. You can't keep living for yourself and think that you're in a right relationship with God. Amen? You have to turn from my way to His way. And as parents, Christian parents, we are to teach them about His way. So as young as possible, they can learn to walk in His way and not their way. Proverbs 14 and verse number 12 says this, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There's a way that seems right. And by the way, you'll battle that with your kids. Right? Like, I think I need to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. And they don't have enough knowledge and wisdom or biblical understanding or life experience a lot of times to make those kind of decisions. And they start walking down the way of death. A way that does lead to destruction. Everything your child is learning right now is critical to what kind of adult they're going to be. And you and I just don't understand that. We don't understand that what we're building right now in those children are either solid, mature, wise adults, or we're establishing in those children a frivolous mindset, a lack of work ethic, someone who's not willing to, you know why we have so many, there's such a need for safe spaces, and people are so emotionally just out of control, emotionally, and there's so much mental disorder in the world today, is because when they were young, they never learned to get a hold of those things. Amen. Raise your hand if this ever happened to you. My dad, he disciplined me. And I was sitting on the couch and I was doing this. And he said, "Son, you shut that up or you'll get another spanking." Now, your dad may not have said it that way to you, not that kind and gentle. Like I just said, my dad said it to me. But you know what I did? Because I didn't want another spanking. You know what he taught me to do? He taught me to control my emotions.
Amen.
Why is there so much road rage? People never learn to control their emotions. Mom said to the child, "Don't do that." And the child did it. Mom said, I thought I told you not to do that. And the child ran to their room, slammed the door, maybe even cursed at mom. And now that child's an adult. Guess what? They're same attitude, same spirit. Y'all see that? Why? Because when they were little, they were never taught, you can't act that way. You can't do that. That is wrong. Jesus said this in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. What way are you talking about here, Solomon, in Proverbs 22, verse 6? It's the way of Christ. There is no religion in the world that's going to do for your children what Christ will do for your children. There's no education in this world that'll do for your children what Jesus Christ can do for your children. What we need to teach our children is how to know the Lord, how to walk with God, how to talk with Him. There's so much. One example of this is even when you're teaching your children how to pray. Be careful about just teaching them to say this rote prayer every time they pray. Right? What's that prayer they pray at mealtime? Most of the time we try and teach a child to pray at mealtime. Anybody know it? Not the good bread. not the good bread, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. Not that one. Amen. Can I tell you something? Most children that have not been taught to pray, that's all they know to say when they pray over their meal. Or we teach them to pray before you go to bed at night. And we teach them to say this little prayer. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And that's the level of their maturity in prayer, because we taught them to say these words before you go to bed at night. We didn't teach them to pray. So sometimes around the house, my children, we praying at mealtime. I'd call them different ones in my family to pray. And I got to noticing some of them that say the same words every time. So I'd say to them, I'd say, son, do you realize when you're praying over the meal that you're pretty much just saying the same words every time? Son, that's not prayer. Amen? Amen. That's not prayer. You know what that is? That's vain repetition. That's me saying something just so I can eat some food. Right? If you're going to pray, please don't misunderstand. I don't mean that you have to pray 45 minutes before you eat. But if you're going to pray, pray! Talk to God. At least express gratitude for the food that He has provided for you to eat. I'll say something to you. We are even omitting that now in most Christian families. Gathering around the table and praying together. And we wonder what's happening to the Christian faith in America. Let me leave you with this last thing that verse 6 says. Train the child. It's supposed to be when he's young. Show him how to live for God. That's our training. You can teach them other things, but make sure the priority is this, their relationship with God. And listen to this truth that we're left with. And when he is old, he will not depart from it.
A promise.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Now that, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean that he will leave Christ and then return. But it is saying if he leaves Christ, most likely he will return. It's not a promise that he will leave. It's a promise that even if he gets caught up in the world, you've established a strong enough foundation in his life that he'll get back to God. He'll find his way back to God. Isn't that the glorious truth? Now listen to me. The only way that's possible, are y'all hearing me? It's if you train up a child. in the way he should go. If you fail to train up that child in the way he should go, he doesn't have anything to come back to. He's lost. He may be out there wanting to come back. Yeah. And because you and I were so busy doing this or that, you know how life is sometimes, that we neglected their soul, they don't know what to come back to. Amen? Yeah. If you've got children in your life, and it don't really matter what their age is, we live in some kind of unique situations now. You know, Sister Wilhelmina said this morning in Sunday school, say, pray for me. I want to raise Josiah up to know Christ.
Amen.
Now, that's her grandson. Amen. Normally that would be mother's request. But Sister Wilhelmina has much more time she spends with Josiah than her mama spends with Josiah. She got a great opportunity to invest her knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding into Josiah's life. And through prayer, bringing him to church and teaching him the way, there's no telling what God will do with that young man. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And the same thing may be true in your life as well. Let me say this. If you're a grandparent and have some kind of distance between you and your grandchildren, close that gap. As much as you can. I know some situations you can't do that. But as much as you can, you close that gap. Don't wait on them. Start it yourself. Send them a note. I know you're praying for them. Send them a note. Reach out to them. Invite them over to the house. Just them. Invite them over to the house. Spend time with them. Pray that God will give you wisdom to help you to lead them to a knowledge of Christ. Amen? If you got a child that's wayward, I would lay this Proverbs 22:6 before the Lord, and I would say, Lord, you got to bring them back. You got to bring them back. You got to bring them back. Amen?
Amen.
And trust that God will do that. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. We beseech you, we plead you in Christ's name. Come, receive Jesus. You never know when you're going to leave this world. Don't leave this world without Christ. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. It was our joy yesterday to tell that young man that when Jesus was on the cross, he was paying your sin debt.
Amen.
Isn't that good news? You and I have sinned against God. And because of that sin, there's a penalty, which is separation from God forever in hell. But God loves us. And this is how much God loved us. Jesus went to Calvary and took every sin that you've ever committed. He said, you judge me, Father, don't judge them. I'll pay the sin debt that they owe. And he did that so that you can have salvation. Amen? And if you've not been saved, come to Jesus this morning and be saved. Amen?
Yes.
Let's stand for prayer. If God dealt with you, come to this altar. Let's do business with the Lord. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the word of God. Lord, thank you for the promise that's found in this passage and the principle as well. Lord, I pray if there's parents here today that have children that are wayward, they're not living for you. God, remind those children the truths of the scriptures. God, strongly convict their hearts and turn them from this world, sin, pleasure, and bring them to full faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for those that have opportunities to teach their own children, Lord, may they take this up in their homes, start having a time of Bible study and prayer, a time when they discuss spiritual things with their children. Daily, as they walk through life, when an opportunity arises to bring up the Lord Jesus Christ, show their children what great things the Lord has been doing for them. And Lord, I pray you'd help the children to respond. Lord, those that have not yet received you as their Lord and Savior, God, save them. Help them to come to faith in you soon. And Lord, those that are saved, strengthen their walk with you. Strengthen their commitment to you. Help them to grow in their understanding and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, if there's one here this morning that's lost, help them to have the courage to come this morning and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, please bless in this invitation. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, turn to page 272.